So, good afternoon from Riga Business School Bottom Line Studio podcast. I'm the host of today's episode, and my name is Elina Tiliba. And my guest today is Ines Eglīte, Associate Professor of Marketing Management at Riga Business School, and also Power of Influence in Organizations, and member of the board of Riga Latvian National Opera and Ballet. And Ines, welcome to the podcast, and I will just jump straight in and invite you to properly introduce yourself and also maybe tell a little bit who is Ines behind all these professional titles.
Thank you for inviting me, and actually thank you for the question. It made me think how it all started, and actually thinking through, I realized that I always have been a very independent person, and as a young adult, as a student, being independent means just having your own opinions and just opinions about everything. And pretty soon I realized that I want to be also financially independent. I did my homework. I got RBS degree in MBA, cum laude. What I learned later is that cum laude doesn't really give you a high position anywhere. It's just good marks and good grades in the class. And I just started working up, and I had some personal qualities which really help for career development, like high energy level, relatively high resistance to stress and conflict, and just also courage, because for my last position in Latvian National Opera and Ballet, which was 10 years ago, almost 10 years. So there was professional recruitment of candidates, and I had the courage to jump in the situation where opera was in real dire straits in financially, and there were not many people who had this courage at that point. There were only 9 candidates. And on the second recruitment row, it was already 45, so when it really was rolling. So, but apart from that, I didn't know a lot how business worked, and just did a lot of things intuitively. I certainly had some self-reflection, which is a lifelong task for any person to do. I certainly didn't have flexibility enough. That's what I would say. And I realized, also teaching at Riga Business School for the last 20 years, that for management skills, there is just a lot of positive drive, which is not always that well reflected in the real life. Like we talk, or there is a lot of talk about excellent teams and just and doing and cooperating and just and charismatic leaders, but we don't really, there is not much discussion with when there is cooperation and cooperation turns into competition. For example, let's say when you have a wonderful high-performing team in the company of the department heads and the CEO or the head of the company is promoted, let's say promoted. So these high-performing team suddenly become competitors. And so in business, scarce resources for budget, for time, for people, diverse people, they really make that in business you have to have conflicts and you have to negotiate and you have to compete. And so how it's done, it's bargaining, negotiating, reciprocity, just giving and taking. And this got me interested, and I realized that almost all business schools, biggest business schools in the world, do this course. And I started introduced a course of Power of Influence, which I am now teaching for 3 years.
Okay. So thank you for sharing this, but I'm still curious because you jumped straight into your current role in the opera. But what was your professional journey even before that? And maybe also as a part of that journey, what were some of your challenges as a new boss, as a new manager? Mm-hmm.
Yes, managing the boss, which is the title for this topic, is certainly, you can ask, how can you manage the boss? Because boss is managing you. But actually, just the question is, what do you understand by the word? If you understand the words that manages control, then do you control your boss? Good question. But also good question is, does the boss control you really totally? And we think that the boss is a figure that really can just determine a lot and lot in our lives, but it could be vice versa. As an employee, you can do exactly what the boss is asking and not reaching the goals. So just managing the boss could mean a lot of stuff, and it could be very, very simple, like simply understanding what different work styles what the boss and you have. And from my personal experience, I remember there's a young a professional marketing director. I was coming to the boss with marketing plan, 29 pages, as today I remember, coming to a different country, seeing my boss for the first time, and I was well prepared. I was ready to support any number in a good business school manner, coming from numbers and net present values and assumptions and explanation of every number. And so just one thing which I didn't realize, that the attention span of my boss is 5 minutes. So he made a lot of fun with me for my presentation. So he had a lot of fun. And what I realize now, he was really highly experienced person, because he realized that there is competence, but I'm simply not understanding the time and resource of the high-standing boss for the problem to be solved.
Okay. And how would you then describe a good relationship between a boss and a subordinate? How would that look like?
Yes. So just this managing really means relationship. And building relationships, the key to building relationship is trust. Trust, and really trust. And trust actually has formula. And formula is very simple. It's competence plus character. And what does it mean? And it works both ways. Works towards your superior boss, and works towards you as an employee. So competence, that you know professionally what you are doing. And let's say for an employee, it might be simpler because you have your functional area and you're responsible. For the boss, this is that he really makes the right decision, strategic decision, or any decision professionally. What character means is that you just have the ability, the strong ego to carry this through, that you don't jump off. For example, just let's say that you as a team or your work colleagues agreed with the boss for a certain direction, and when you come to the bigger meeting, and so there is a personal threat to the boss, he jumps off and he says, turns away. Or even worse, he says, you are in blame. If there is some mistake made, you are in blame. The same thing happens towards the employee. That for employee, you have the competence, you are sure that the work your employee is doing is of good quality, and you should not recheck it and control every minute. But at the same time, you just show the character, caring, you let to keep the face in the situation, which is a little bit ambiguous. And I have my own personal story with an employee when I started again working as a marketing director. So there was a new team, and the old management was removed. And the older head of the department, which I was heading, was now an employee, let's say demoted. And so this person was not feeling very well. So I'm not finding her place. And certainly, let's say if we look professionally, she might not be fit for the position. She didn't use Excel spreadsheets or spoke any language. But intuitively, I kind of understood that this person is valuable. Not that business treasure, as I think, but because of my upbringing, which is now different with the younger people, I had respect, hierarchy, respect towards older people who have achieved something. And so just in all the status meetings we had every week, I let this person keep her face. I didn't ask hard questions because she was uncomfortable and so on. And then happened another thing with the same person, that she disappeared for 3 days. And the management was already ready to talk about, what happened when the person doesn't appear at work. And it turned out that she has received the telephone call that her mother is dying, and she just jumped into the car and went to the other country to see the mother. And when she returned, so I took her to lunch, and I expressed my condolences, which at that time I did it as good as I get, I could as I can, but I was certainly not at that time lost any of my loved ones, so just it was theoretical also to me at that point, and said that maybe you should call someone. And these two points made her totally loyal employee. And because she knew the process and knew the technology, so just for the next 5 years, I received amounts of information. I had like what could go wrong, what will happen, how it will happen. And this person also developed herself because she became the head of new product development because she knew all the process. And I know this because she told me that these two events was the cornerstones of building the trust. So just building trust both ways towards your just employees or your superiors.
Okay. So that's an interesting story, and I'm hearing that you were using your intuition and also empathy and really allowed that person to grow, and eventually it led you to the results. But what if we look from the other perspective, and what if there is a subordinate and let's say he or she meets the difficult boss who does not have that time and who is just, that tough boss who just needs the results to get done, and there is not that part of the boss's part of building that relationship. So what would be some of your suggestions to the subordinate? What subordinate could do, for example?
Yes, I think we should talk about difficult bosses because everyone has most probably at least once in his life or her life met a difficult boss. But not to forget about the young manager position, moving from employee to the boss. Maybe after that we can discuss this too. So, but for difficult bosses, yes, there could be different difficult bosses. Like one of the most common, I would say, is micromanagement or control freak. Just what to do with this micromanagement or control freak. So if you have the patience, you can every morning inform your boss what is happening. So, which is certainly just maybe painful for someone, but this is one of the ways. And also to understand, which you quite often forget, that bosses are human beings and they have their own failings. Another micromanagement problem for the boss could be that he comes from certain financial functional area. For example, if he comes from the marketing, he certainly might be more interested in what is happening in marketing and believe that he knows this area better. However, I always say when you just go up from the functional area of marketing to management, you lose a lot of your professional skills and have to gain new skills, administrative skills. And one more thing, let's say if we back to this control freak, then you have to see what are the triggers for this person, for this control freak boss. Triggers, I mean, if you just too insecure or control freak boss come and say, oh, I'm afraid that we will fail. I'm afraid that we will be late. I don't know how to do it. Then this certainly might be the trigger that just I have to control even more. So then what else could be a difficult boss? There could be boss who is absent, who is not present. And actually, with my experience, I would say that this is a wonderful boss because it gives you independence to work. So I would say busy boss is good boss. So the boss which has nothing to do is a problem. So, but it also could be absent boss, which is absent, but you can't make any decision without him. So just, and then it simply just stalls the process or stalls the management process. And you have to find the way how to reach the boss, how to agree about certain times when you talk. And what else out of difficult bosses, indecisive or insecure bosses, which most probably have some problem with their own ego. Because as I said, there for the boss, you have to have an ego. In general, to move up, you need ego. But it has to be not big ego, but strong ego. Strong meaning that you, as a boss, you always have to show this character that you can carry things through. And insecurity, again, you should not feed the feeling on insecurity in the boss. Just work more on the strengths, on just that, or positive outcome of this. But all this situation is easy to say, but in real life, it's not that easy to fulfill.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that we mentioned just a couple of possible difficult bosses, but actually before you mentioned that interesting topic of that transition from a functional manager to let's say to a boss, so what are your take? What's your take on that?
I think that this is very, very difficult transition in management, in person's career and management life, and. Because you one day you were colleague and maybe even friend, and next day you are the boss. And so quite many of young bosses or new bosses, their first feeling is to be nice. But nice is neither respect or you do it. Feeling nice is just this feeling which makes you feel good, not so much that you can achieve some professional things. And basically makes you just fall between two chairs, the chair of the employee and the chair of the boss. Or acting quite often in this situation like a trade union mixed with, senior colleague, which is not really the boss, the new boss. And my experience, when my first experience just becoming the boss was that I was offered the position with a condition that I have to fire a person. And it was very, very difficult because, first of all, it was not my decision. So if I would be participating in this decision, maybe I would have supported this person, or maybe I would have agreed, but it was not my decision. But at the moment I appeared, so there was no head at that time, and this question was already solved. And it's very, very difficult, so just because... any person who says that just firing is easy is either lying or barely cruel people. So, but at the same time, at some point, it's inevitable because boss has paradox. As a superior, you have to develop person and you have to evaluate person. So, and when you develop a person and have invested in developing and it doesn't work, so then you have to evaluate and say that it doesn't work because it doesn't work for the total quality, and at the end you can lose your own job by just by letting things which are not working to continue. But coming back to my story, so just with this where I had to fire the person, so what I tried to solve it amicably and try to explain that the person doesn't have poor performance by default. This person might not fit in certain organization, but will perfectly fit in a different organization. And again, when you talk about different person, it's easy. When it this is said about you, this is not that easy. So, but my golden rule is if you can just part with an employee and have good relations and and can expect that in the future you might work again together, this is a good conclusion of relationship.
OK, Okay, and what would be maybe some of your tips to some people who are transitioning in this new boss role? How to make it as smooth as possible? What to maybe mentally prepare, or what would be some ideas or tips?
One rule which is I have applied all my life, and again, nobody taught me. I kind of did it naturally. So don't work with your friends or relatives. And I just think that there could be people who will argue because there's still family business where just wife and husband works together. But still, let's say if husband and wife are owners and you are the managers, and this situation is generally quite difficult because blood takes over the professional abilities. So, and I in my personal life really followed this rule. I never worked with friends and never worked with my relatives. And then you just... Actually, I should ask you the question. Do you think that the boss and subordinate can be friends?
Well, that's actually a really interesting question. And I think that it would be hard, but I have experienced the situation when, and similarly than you mentioned, then a person is... how to say, promoted from an environment when that person already has these friends. So the interesting question is what then happens with the friendship? Mm-hmm. Because yes, when, for example, you come as a boss, then you can make a decision, conscious decision, where are your limits? But when you already come from that friendship part, then being a boss can be quite challenging, and I don't think that I would suggest that. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is actually a good discussion point, because with this question we have to figure out what we understand by friendship. Mm-hmm. And if we understand what Aristotle meant, like friendship by virtue, where it's just where friend is just value by itself. You forgive a lot to this person, you just tell your innermost thoughts and you are very, very close, then I find it difficult to see how the boss and subordinate can be, because the boss, again, has this paradox of developing people and evaluating people. But it doesn't mean that the boss and the subordinate can't have friendly relationship. Just the opposite. They should have friendly and caring relationship. But simply, what is friendship? Then how we perceive what is friendship? How, because friendship is almost unconditional in the sense of true understanding of friendship. And in this sense, this is pretty complicated. Sooner or later, you will have to evaluate, and either quality will deteriorate the performance, or your relation, your friendship will deteriorate with this person. So this is one thing for suggesting for moving to the boss decision. Then again, just trust, and trust is formula. Competence plus character. So you should know what you are doing. When you were just in a certain area, let's say I will use this example of marketing, so a functional area, now you need different competence how to do management decisions. So you have to make the right decisions and carry them through. Have the credibility, strong ego to carry this through, because you have to manage yourself. Now you have to manage the group or your team, and you have to manage the network or your other colleagues, because quite often in a bigger company, if you can't, you don't have network of peers, and you care only for your team, you might not reach the goal. So it's quite often a bigger thing. So you have to deal with your other colleagues.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and previously you mentioned that you have done quite a lot of personal self-reflection through these years, and that was a part of you growing growing as a boss. So if you just had to summarize maybe some learnings from this self-reflection process through these years personally from your experience, what could some of these learnings be?
As I mentioned, I think that self-reflection, it's just a work for the whole life. So you, certainly you have to understand your reactions. And your reactions, as I mentioned, stress and conflict, which are the very important in business life, how you handle conflict and how you handle stress. And let's say if you are conflict averse, so then you should know it. And say, okay, I know that in a very conflicting situation, I might act this way or that way, and that why plan or manage these situations according to your character. Also, just what are your emotional reactions? What makes you angry? What are triggers which can make you angry? What are just the qualities in people which makes you irritated and so on? Just in different situations, the better you understand it, the better you can manage the environment. Because the boss in general and a good manager or leader needs a broad repertoire of different behaviors. So just where you are caring and where you are evaluating or angry. And there is such a definition as strategic anger. You might not really feel angry, but because this is outside the legitimate borders, you have to show the anger and so on. And so you have to have this repertoire of different behaviors which you apply.
Okay, and you actually touched upon an interesting topic. And yes, we all have like different emotional reactions and different characters. And I wonder where in this boss-subordinate relationship, where is the line where you can allow really to be yourself, and where is the line where you like really stop and adjust your behavior and adapt.
Yes, this is a very interesting question because I don't fully understand this concept or let's say word of authenticity. Because what is authentic or when I'm authentic? Because every day I greet you with smiling because positive attitude really helps everyone. But my mood might be totally different. So am I authentic or I'm not authentic? And in this way, we can say that all Americans are not authentic because after how are you, no response is expected. So just what is, and let's say I could keep silent not to escalate the conflict while my true self would say I can say so much about this situation that, there will be nothing left after I've said all I want to say. But I don't do this because I have these behaviors and I adjust these behaviors in different situations. So just who is that authentic self? But having said that, I say my word which I use is integrity, that you should never lose your integrity. And integrity is or wholeness, which means your set of values, set of behaviors which you accept and behind some border you are not you. So let's say if somebody makes you lie or betray or do things what you normally don't do or illegal things, whatever is this integrity. So you have to stay within your integrity. And let's say if the work relationship or boss subordinate relationship infringes of your integrity, you should move or you should. This is a red line where you are not you should not continue. So just this is, I'm more, my word is integrity. Mm. So you should think about that.
Yeah, that actually resonates very much with me. What is my set, my core values, which I don't like overstep or which are my non-negotiables. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and as we are coming to conclusion to our today's conversation, so I would like a little bit to explore your connection with Riga Business School, because I know that you're not only the professor, but also you're alumni of Riga Business School. So what are maybe your key takeaways or something that you remember from your study years?
I think I would not be very original that I would say that one of the takeaways is networking. And networking, when I talk to students on open day, I think they don't believe what I say, because I quite often say that you sit next to the boss of big company and you most probably will have his or her telephone and be able to reach the phone and call. And this is really happening after, you know, 10 or 20 years. And also, I just another thing which I really enjoy being a student is very nice. It's learning and having fun also. Just having fun in smaller or bigger groups, or also in all the events which school is organizing, I tell my students keep challenging, because you need this mental gymnastics which Riga Business School offers, and I think it's really a big asset for anyone who wants to achieve something in life.
Okay, yeah. Well, in the networking part, I guess it's mentioned by most of our guests. Here, that is really a great value, and I have experienced that as well. And and I also wonder, what's something you enjoy the most as a part of your professor life?
Yes, for professor, I started teaching because it was a challenge. It was a challenge that I can do it, and just that not only professors which are invited from abroad could be good professors. And then for many years, because I teach many years, for many years I couldn't answer myself why I'm teaching. I was simply teaching. And then at certain point I realized that I have this immediate gratification that person learns something or comes up to street to me and say, you might not remember me, I'm your student, but it really, really helped. And right now, I set even the goal for when in my course I start, I say to students that my goal is that they keep their job as long as they want to keep their job. So I because of all the skills which you need in administration and management, so that you just keep the job or leave on your terms.
Okay. And do you have statistics how many have left?
That's very interesting. I don't, but I know why I actually got this idea, that Stanford Business School, they really did statistics, and they realized that quite many of MBAs in the first 2 years leave their jobs. And so one of the ways is to have this more management skills, not competent skills in functional areas, which also are needed. But to move up in career and your position, you need a lot of management skills or power and influence skills, which quite often is perceived in a negative way, even, because if I ask a person, do you want to influence? Quite often I get the answer, no, I want to motivate. Do you want to have an impact? Yes, I want to have an impact. So then you need power. No, power is for those greedy ones. So just having, it's almost like politically incorrect talking about influence and power, which actually excites me even more.
Okay. And just in case somebody listening or watching us is considering studying in Riga Business School, what would you say to that person?
What I would say? I would say that, first of all, you have to be honest. Why do you want to study? Because an answer could be, the more honest is the answer, the easier it would be study. So if the answer is I need knowledge, you will get knowledge. And if your answer is I need networking, you will get networking. If your answer is I want to put my MBA after my other degree, you will also get it. But I think the value of the school is that it has high standards. That means that those who will study here will really have to study. And it takes time, and sometimes even more time than you expected. But the result is worth it.
Yes, I can tell that as an alumni. Okay, so we have come to the closure of today's conversation. Any closing words, anything you want to leave our audience with?
As I always say, keep challenging. And this school really offers opportunity for doing that.
Okay, well, thank you, Ines, for these valuable insights. And the time has just flowed away. And for anybody who has watched this episode and enjoyed it so far, so know that we have many more interesting episodes. So feel free to find Riga Business School YouTube channel and also look in the podcast streaming apps, and see you in the next episode.